Welcome to the Mum Boss Podcast, hosted by me, Renee O'Neill. I'm your host, life and business coach for mums, and a mum of two myself. I'm here to help you be the present mum you're wanting to be, whilst also having a successful business, because you can have both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You have come to the right place if you're a mum who dreams of time and financial freedom and wants to be fulfilled in life alongside motherhood. This podcast is a place where you can come to be inspired and empowered whilst also getting tangible tips, advice, and strategies to help you in your life and business. So let's dive in. Today on the Mum Boss Podcast, I have an incredible guest episode to bring you, and it honestly makes my heart so happy to have the most incredible guests come on and share their expertise with you. And I know this episode is one that you are going to resonate with. This is an episode that you're going to feel really seen, really heard, and really understood. Because the entire time we were recording it, I was head nodding and going, It was amazing. So today on the podcast, I bring you Amy Taylor Cabaz, and she is incredible. She is obviously a mum, and she is an author of the incredible book, Mama Rising. She's also the host of the Happy Mama Movement podcast. And she is an internationally awarded life coach as well. She runs online programs for mums all over the world in Matrescence. And it is phenomenal, the work that she does. And so I cannot wait to bring you this incredible episode. So let's dive in. Today on the Mum Boss Podcast, I am joined with another guest, and it always makes me so excited to bring these incredible guests to the podcast. So, Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am very excited for you to be here with us. So, for our listeners, I'd love for you to share a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
I am a mama of three, based in the inner west in Sydney, and an author, a podcast host myself, and a coach. And a few years ago, I developed my own coaching school or training school, which specializes in a very unique and exciting understanding of the experience of becoming a mother called Matrescence. And so we now train coaches, facilitators, workshop leaders, HR managers, doulas, social workers, everybody in between who wants to work with mothers and with women around the world to really change the way that we understand what happens when we become a mother, and also how we can feel more valued and supported through these really intense years.
I love what you do. It's such impactful work, and I think it is such a transformational time when you become a mum, and I think there needs to be more education around this, which is why I love what you do so much and why I'm so excited to have you here on the podcast, because I think when you are unaware of what changes occur, you know, yes, there are physical changes, but there are also so many other changes that occur. And I think when you have that understanding, your process through going through and navigating these changes makes it so much easier. But then likewise, for somebody who works with mothers, I think having that deeper understanding as well. So I guess for the listener that's like, I don't quite understand this concept, I've never heard of it, are you able to explain what it actually is?
Yes. So I think the best way to describe it is to sort of explain how I found the word, because it kind of paints the picture of what you just said exactly, which is when we don't understand this experience of becoming a mother, it is incredibly isolating and scary and traumatic. And then when you do understand what matrescence is in this experience, suddenly everything makes sense. So for me, my eldest is now 15, which I cannot believe. She's 16 in a couple of months, which just blows my mind. I am too young to have a 16-year-old. Well, that's how I feel anyway. But when I became a mum 15 and a half, 16 years ago, I was like so many women of our generation. I grew up being encouraged to think about what I was going to do in this world. I had a very feminist mother, a very strong-minded father who believed in me no end. I went as an exchange student to study in Japan when I was 15. I decided very early on I wanted to be an international correspondent. I wanted to be a journalist. I went back to uni in Tokyo. I worked for the ABC. I was really clear on who I was and what I thought I was here to do. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was living, as Oprah would say, I was living my best life. I couldn't believe that I was working for the ABC. It's who I always wanted to work for. And I really attached so much of my sense of self and identity to that role. And then, you know, met a guy, fell in love, got married. And then at 30, really felt this pull to have a baby, which I'd always thought I would be a mum one day, but I never really contemplated what that would mean for me personally. I like to say it was almost like I was going to add motherhood to my resume. It was like everything else was going to continue. I just also got this bonus thing. I've just got motherhood as well, but I'm still going to be me and I'm still going to go back to work and I'm still going to go, like my ultimate goal was to be a foreign correspondent. So we were going to travel the world and we'll take the kids with us and all of that. And then my beautiful daughter came crash landing into this world. The birth was quite traumatic and really overwhelming. And she was born not very well. She had some pretty significant physical challenges when she was born. And she therefore wouldn't sleep and wouldn't eat. And we were back at the hospital every day for 6 weeks, the first 6 weeks of her life. And it was the first time in my whole life where I couldn't figure it out by myself. I couldn't just go and interview somebody because I was, you know, the journalist. I'm like, surely there's someone I can interview about this. I couldn't find a book because all the books were telling me completely different things. And I really, really began to doubt myself. I really, for the first time, kind of lost this sense of I can do anything as long as I try hard. You know, as long as I keep going, as long as I back myself, like all of the personality traits that had gotten me that far in life crumbled in those first few months of motherhood. And Scarlett, my daughter, at about 4 months old, finally started getting a lot better. Her physical challenges improved. She finally started feeding and a little bit sleeping. And I kind of got to that point and everything started settling around me and inside me. I had completely changed. I didn't know who I was anymore. It shocked me how differently I felt about myself. It shocked me how much I wondered if I should have done this. It surprised the hell out of me that I was so angry at my husband for how little his life changed and how my whole goddamn life was different. It shocked me that nobody had talked to me about that. I couldn't believe it, Renee. It was really, and I think when I look back, the level of unpreparedness massively contributed to how hard that time was for me. So being the journalist that I am and I was like, well, surely somebody knows about this. Surely somebody else is talking about this. Surely somebody is also saying the things that I'm thinking. But 15 years ago, I wasn't even on Facebook. You know, there wasn't this beautiful social media podcast world where we're all interconnected and all you have to do is put two terms into Google and you find your community. I looked around, I couldn't find anybody talking about it or saying anything. So I kind of just pushed those questions and feelings down and kept going. Couldn't wait to get back to work. But then when I got to work, I didn't feel good there either. And I mean, everyone who's listening knows that feeling of I want to be with my child all the time, but I also don't want to be with my child. So I'll go back to work or I'll go out for dinner or I'll go to the day spa. And then when you get there, you're like, oh my God, I want to be with my child. And in my work and in my book, I call it the inner split. Because you're not who you used to be anymore, but you're not sure who you are yet either. And there's this split within you. I can talk about this for hours, but a long story short is that that inner split stayed with me. And I continued to question why I felt the way I did. I began to do interviews and create articles for magazines around it. I created a blog back in the day when blogs were the thing. And had another baby, as you do, kept going, kept pushing, kept asking the questions, but never stopped until I, and then had a third baby. And that was really challenging. I found myself really unwell and in labor at 28 weeks. And then really, I guess, finally stopped and asked myself that question that I'd started to ask when Scarlett was born. Why do I feel this way? Why can't I slow down? Why is being a mum not enough? Why are we not valued for this role? Why am I so angry all the time? And I realized by that stage that a lot of people were finally asking the same things. He's nine. So 9 years earlier, there was social media. I did have a Facebook page by then with thousands of mums around the world connecting with me. So I knew that there was something here. I knew that I wasn't the only one feeling this way. So I trained as a life coach, which shocked the hell out of me because the serious ABC journalist was like mocking myself. Like, I'm sorry, you're a what? You're a life coach? But I loved it, and it empowered. I worked with the coach and then trained myself, and it empowered me to start to look at myself in a different way. Eventually left the ABC, published my first book, created my first program for mums, which was wildly successful, and it kept building and growing. But there was still this original question that I couldn't answer. It was like I knew the answers, but I still didn't know the question. I still didn't understand why it felt this way, but I knew what to do about why it felt, like how to change that feeling. But this question is of why does this do this to us? What happens to us that causes these feelings? I still couldn't answer that until 2018. I was driving around Sydney. I was living in Sydney by this stage with my three kids, listening to a podcast, as you do, and heard Dr. Alexandra Sachs, there's a couple of amazing leaders in matrescence research and education in the world. Dr. Alexandra Sachs is one, my personal mentor and teacher, Dr. Aurélie Affen at Columbia University is another. And Alexandra Sachs said in this podcast, there is this thing called matrescence. And matrescence is like adolescence. Just as a child does not wake up on his or her 13th birthday and is suddenly an adult, nor does a woman wake up on the day she gives birth or sees the two lines on the stick that she's just peed on and she's now a mother. There is a period of massive transformation that is much longer than we think it is. And in that period, she's not who she used to be, but she's not fully that person yet. And by that stage, no exaggeration, I think 5,000 women had gone through my programs, two books, podcasts, millions of downloads, and I just felt like finally I found the answer. That's what I'd been searching for 10 years by that stage. And I had to pull over on the side of the road and like ugly snot cry. It was like somebody, it still makes me emotional talking about it, because for 10 years I'd really doubted myself and thought maybe it was me. But also by that stage, I'd heard thousands of others feel the same. And I knew that I'd just, like the light had just been turned on. Oh my God, this is it. Why didn't I know about this? And so I was very incredibly lucky. I had an amazing publisher at Hay House, and I rang them, and I was meant to be writing a completely different book for them. And I rang them in tears and said, I've got another, like, no, I've got the book, I've got the book. I have to go to New York and interview these people and I think this is it. And they said, yeah, okay. And so within 3 months, I was in New York interviewing these leaders of matrescence and now get to share it with the world. So this word is revolutionary in the way that we both understand ourselves, can talk to each other and our partners and our colleagues and our family about how we're feeling. But I also believe this word has the potential to truly change the way the world understands and supports parents through this period, these early periods of parenthood. So that's my long story.
It's amazing and it's incredible. And I think it was just so meant to be this way, you know. It's like you finally found that missing piece to the puzzle that you'd been yearning for, and it took time, but, you know, on that road, you know, you were able to go through so many different things. You were able to speak and connect with so many incredible people, and it just led you on this whole different, like, path in life, and I kind of really love that. But more importantly, I love that stumbling across this, I guess you would say, it really has unlocked so much, obviously for you personally, yes, but also all the other women that you impact as well along the way. And I think that is like such a legacy to leave behind as well. And I think, you know, it's incredible just the ripple effect that it has as well. One thing I would love to know is, once you stumbled across that for yourself, what changed for you? Obviously, it changed a different path in terms of, you know, your book was obviously then going to be different and all of these, you know, career side of things. But for you personally, at that point in motherhood that you were in, how did things shift for you then?
I think it shifted both in motherhood and in my work in a really powerful way. So maybe I'll talk about my business growth and my work first. I think when we take a chance and follow a hunch, the beginnings of an idea, the seed of a hope of a maybe this will work, maybe I could make some money from this, maybe this will impact others, we are so being so incredibly brave and courageous. But I felt, and I've seen in so many other women building businesses, you know, it's a wobbly step forward each time. We're really like, God, I hope this works. God, I wonder if this is going to connect. God, I hope that this is going to work again. What if it doesn't work this time? And I think even though to many and on many levels, I had built a successful business, and as I said, best-selling book, a podcast, I was able to leave the ABC. I had thousands of women going through my programs. I was doing what I loved and it was having an impact. But I felt that, I think so often, especially as women, this feeling of imposter syndrome or this feeling of being a bit too woo-woo, not being able to clearly say to someone if they ask me at a barbecue, what do you do? Other than being a life coach for mums, which usually their eyes would glaze over and they'd be like, oh yeah, whatever. I felt like I kept going and, you know, and I always would have. This word with its academic research behind it, its data, its neurological understanding, physical understanding, emotional understanding, the social context that this word is now being developed in, it, and for the journalist in me as well, it legitimized everything I had done. Even though I did it all before I knew what the word was, which I look back now and think, wow, Amy, that took balls, because really, I was basically throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing if it stuck. I remember doing my first few programs and doing group coaching calls and coming downstairs to my husband at the time and saying, oh my God, it's working. They're loving it. Oh my God. And then at the end of the 6-week coaching program, the transformation in these women's, like, it shocked me. I was just doing it on a wing and a prayer, truly. What I shared worked for me. I hoped like hell it worked for them, and it did. But once I had this word and I was able to work directly with Dr. Athan, who really helped me claim my authority in this space and back it with this knowing that this is a true thing. This isn't like some woo-woo, you know, women's issue that nobody wants to know about. That's when everything changed in my work. Not only did I start speaking with more confidence, I showed up differently. It was like I almost took myself more seriously, and this job was not just a solo entrepreneur, let's hope it works kind of thing. I always did freelance magazine editing or writing on the side just in case it didn't work. All of these little things changed because I truly felt like I could back myself now, I know. So that was the biggest thing personally. Professionally. Personally, maybe I'll share a quick story. When I flew to New York and I worked, when I first met Dr. Orly Athan, in her office at Columbia University, she was asking me some questions about, you know, your work and why are you so passionate about this, and sort of trying to understand what I wanted to do with mothers and with my work and my influence. And I was telling her that I left the ABC because I went into early labor and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't be the senior producer at the ABC working 3:30 a.m. 5 days a week and be the mum that I wanted to be. I know, right? I can't even believe I did it now. And be the mum I wanted to be and even try and have a relationship or a life. And she said to me, you know that that's not your fault. You couldn't keep up with that. You know that, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And she's like, because she's phenomenal with this stuff. And she really challenged me to see that this expectation I had had on myself that I could do that level of work as if I wasn't a mother. And mother, as if I didn't work that level of work, only finally landed in her office. And again, obviously in big breakthrough moments in my life, I snot cry and was like, oh, you know, it was mortifying. I'm here in front of the woman who's literally about to change my life and change the world with matrescence. And I'm like, and she had to go and get paper towel from the kitchen and bring it to me because I was like, oh my God. I didn't realize that even though I had been talking to women about how we need to accept this time in our lives differently for 10 years, I still judged myself for not being able to do both. I still held this deep belief inside that if only I'd tried harder, I could have kept that dream job at the ABC and still been a great mum. If only I'd got up a little bit earlier, if only I'd just pushed a little harder, if I had done this, maybe I should have got more help at home, or maybe I should have... I had still been carrying this belief inside of me that I could have, should have done it differently. And that's what, again, I love about this word. And in my training in Mama Rising, we spend a lot of time talking about this cultural assumption that we can do all and have all and what that does to us. And it was only through working through the research and understanding around matrescence did I finally forgive myself for not being able to be Superwoman, because I truly did think I was going to be Superwoman. I mean, I think that's what we were all told we could be. We can have it all. And when we fail at having it all, we think it's our fault. And it's not. So that's what this has done for me.
That's incredible. And I think there will be so many people listening to this episode like me, nodding along and being like, wow, this lands and really resonates, because so often, you know, motherhood isn't always what we picture it to be. You know, we go into it with such naivety, which is also lovely, but we picture what we think motherhood's going to look like. But my experience is what motherhood felt like was very, very different to this beautiful picture I'd painted for myself. And it is a very hard time navigating through that when you're feeling like you're all alone and you're the only person experiencing this, which is why I think that community aspect that, you know, you've created for women is so helpful because we need to know and understand that we are not alone. And actually, many, many people feel this way. And now, thankfully, there are a lot of people like yourself talking about it, which just gives you that permission slip to go, okay, I'm not alone. And it's not me. It's not me. There's nothing wrong with me. And I think that might even be a key part of it, is feeling like you're broken or there's something wrong with you, or you don't have this secret recipe to how motherhood's meant to be. And so you feel like there's something wrong with you. And I think that's a huge part of it as well.
Yes. And I love that you say, you know, it doesn't live up to this picture we have in our mind of motherhood. And what I like to say to women when I talk to them about this is, like, if you were to close your eyes and picture what a good mother, a motherhood experience when you had your babies, what that would look like. So imagine that on one side of like a TV screen, if you like. And then on the other side, close your eyes and picture what an image is of a successful woman. Because you are probably likely picturing two very, very different experiences. And again, this is that split we feel inside that we juggle with all the time, is because our culture and our workplaces and our society and our definition of success is, you know, as equally demanding as motherhood, always available, always, you know, walking into a room and owning the room and getting the projects done and standing up for yourself and having this energy, availability, all of it in that world. And then when you picture motherhood, you want to be there for the school pickups, you want to be there for the drop-offs, you don't want to miss that athletics carnival every year, you want to be able to take some school holidays when they're sick, you know, also be on top of the dentists, the birthday parties, book week. Book week is the bane of my life. I have two more years, Renee, and then I'm done. Oh my God. I think I'm going to throw a no more book week party for myself. My kids laugh. They know, my poor children. There's often a patriarchal rant around book week every year for them. I'm like, this is not what working mothers have to do. Anyway, we won't go there. But what I'm trying to say here is the definition of what we want motherhood to look like is the complete opposite of the definition of what we look when we think about success, ambition, abundance, all of these things that we also want in our life. And so no wonder we're burned out. No wonder the gender burnout gap is greatest for mothers of primary school age children. Post-COVID, the data is mind-blowing around the world. The biggest, most burnt out group of the population around the world are school-aged mothers, working mothers. Because we have had to keep showing up as if we aren't mums, and then also homeschool and manage all of this. And I know it's over now, but that has had a deep and lasting effect on our emotional and nervous system health. And that's what we need to start talking about differently.
It is really difficult, isn't it? Because COVID has just had a very long-lasting effect, and I think it's difficult. But one thing I know with the clients I work with is it is always being pulled in both directions. It is always they want to have this successful business that they're creating for themselves, so they have that time freedom, that time flexibility to be with their family and their children, but then also still wanting to be that mum. And it's always this pull of like these two completely different worlds and feeling like you have to pick one, feeling like it's one or the other. You can't actually have both because it's not possible. And I'd love for you to speak into that, because my belief is we can have both, but, and I feel like there's that but there, because it's also having to recognize and understand it just looks different than what you might perceive it to look like. So I'd love to know what your perception on this topic is, because it's also sometimes a controversial one where people are very much, no, it is one or the other, or no, you can have both. I'd love to know your take on it.
Yes. Gosh, we could do another whole podcast just on this. It's pretty much the core of Mama Rising training is to work with a woman to support her to find answers to this question and many other questions. But how can we move through matrescence, this experience of these changes we go through? And just to clarify, matrescence is not just a postpartum experience. It is an ongoing experience where your identity continuously shifts in response to the needs of your children. But I will add, I have found in my own research and in a lot of the work that I've seen through my own work, but also all of our Mama Rising coaches, is that the first 7 years is particularly hard for each child. So I think you said, is yours seven?
I was about to say it's interesting because I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I only said to my husband the other night, I said, we were sitting there and just, you know, how you have those conversations talking about the kids are getting older and all the changes and da-da-da, and I said to him, you know, it's only this year that I feel like I've really, there's been a huge shift that's occurred. I feel like I have really found my feet when it comes to the topic of being a mum. I feel like everything's finally come together. So when you said seven, I'm like, I completely resonate with this.
It's amazing and it's consistent. And there's lots of different reasons why that seems to be the age, which we won't go into now. But there is, so I guess my point is that I really want everybody listening to know that when we talk about matrescence, we're not just talking about the toddler days. In fact, that question of can I have it all is often really ripe around, you know, school, primary school starting. Or, you know, finally got the kids into daycare and I get my time again. And so that feeling of I can start reinvesting in myself, whether it's through a business or going back to work or even personal time, a hobby, sports, activities, and realizing, oh, God, they still need me. That's where that clash occurs. I agree with you. I think, we can't have it all in the way that we were told we would have it all as teenagers growing up. I have a process that I share at times, which I did for myself many years ago when I realized that I couldn't have it all and really went through a lot of grieving around that, because it is a grieving, because it is something we've been told. Again, I could get quite ranty about it, but it is quite a toxic story we were told growing up that we could have it all. And we can, but we can't have it all without a massive support system. So, yes, you can be the CEO or run your own business and whatever you want to do and have a number of children, but our world paints that as in she is Superwoman and she is holding it all. And that is what we have done so bloody wrong, is that we have isolated mothers. We literally send them home from hospital a couple of days after birth and put her behind a closed door. Maybe she gets once a week visit from a midwife if she's lucky in some parts of the world. She's probably isolated from her family. Most of us live away from our extended family these days, especially if you had a baby during COVID. You know, we don't have a village. We have to pay for every bit of help, most of us. And yet we say to her, but you can do it all, but you can have it all. And it individualizes this. That's not how it's meant to be done. So the first answer I give to this is you can have it all, but you won't do it on your own. So, and I wish women would be more honest about that. I really do. Secondly, if you can't afford to pay for all of that help, then yeah, I'm sorry to say we can't. And again, there's grief there. There's anger. There's anger at partners, at the system, at yourself. And I wish we could talk more honestly about that so we could heal it rather than keep it inside, because that also contributes to our burnout and anger and rage and sadness. And finally, I believe that in this process of matrescence, We actually have this beautiful opportunity to redefine who we are and who we want to be. So for example, for me, if I can use that as an example, you know, I was so busy trying to prove to myself and to the world that I hadn't changed, that I could still be this phenomenal journalist at the ABC. And my ego loved that everybody said, I don't know how you do it, Amy. Like, I was so trying to still hang on to this old version of myself that it was only when I went into early labor with my son at 28 weeks that I finally realized, why am I still doing this? Why am I still trying to prove that I can do it all? And so when we get a space, whether it's through coaching, women's groups, psychologists, whatever it is, yourself, you can do it on your own, but it is so much better with others. And we finally get this space to pause and to realize that we're different than we used to be and check back in with our values and our hopes for the future and what's important right now, and perhaps let go of some of our old beliefs and hopes and dreams in a beautiful way, then we get to decide what having it all looks like for now. And so in that process for me years ago, I ended up writing my 20-year-old self a letter. And I thanked that phenomenally ambitious woman who literally would have, you know, climbed over the top of someone to get to that ladder in a kind and compassionate way. But, you know, fierce. God, she was fierce, that 20-year-old. And I actually miss her sometimes still. And I think that's okay. Just like an adult sometimes misses the innocence of childhood, but you're never going to go back and be a child again. We can miss our maiden selves. We can miss that old, independent, feisty, confident, or whatever you were, free-spirited, whatever it was. And so I wrote a letter and I thanked her for all that she did and how brave she was and really just how fierce she was. And then also said to her, it's time to go. Thank you. Things have changed. I think I have different dreams now. And I think I would love for all women to have experiences like that, to be able to go back to some of these rituals, these beautiful practices, these things that we can do together as women to honor how we change and to let go of who we used to be and be excited about who we're coming into. You know, we should do the same at menopause, we should do the same at divorce, we should do the same at career changes. We should really, as women, I think we're deeply craving spaces where we have an opportunity to just process what's happening, grieve it if we need to, and then get really clear on where we want to go now.
That is such a beautiful practice, and I think something tangible that everyone listening can walk away and go and do. And I think honoring that process of accepting who we once were, acknowledging her, you know, being grateful for the person we once was, but then also being like, it's okay now to let her go. And actually, I can now fully embody who I am right now. And knowing that
that's it.
That is for so many, including myself, so different. And you too, so different to who we once were. Like, that there's parts of us that are still there, of course. We don't morph completely into this whole other being. There are still similarities there. There's still parts of us there, but there has occurred this huge shift, and it's okay now to go, you know what, I can say goodbye to her. I can close the door, accept that that chapter's been and gone, and I can now walk through this door and embrace this new being that I am. And know that she does have different hopes and dreams, and she does have different expectations, and her world is different, and that's okay too. And I think that's right. Such a beautiful part to end this incredible podcast on. So, Amy, I have absolutely been in awe listening to you. I absolutely adore you. And I know that our listeners are going to get so much out of this episode, but for our listener who's listening and they're like, I just need to know more, I want to learn more, where can listeners best connect and find you and the work that you do?
Yes, thank you. I've loved it too. What a beautiful conversation. So you can go to amytaylorkabaz.com, and on there, there's links to my book, Mama Rising, my podcast, meditations, exercises to work through your own experience of matrescence. But I also then really encourage everybody to have a look at mamarising.net. That's the place where we talk about our training, the matrescence 5-month certification training. So you can use this as a coach, as a facilitator. We have women in business who want to create products for mothers do the training so that they can be grounded in a different way of supporting mothers through this experience. So it's an amazing training for anyone who's passionate about mothers. But also on that website, you can find our Mama Rising coaches and facilitators. So if you want to work through any of this process, if you want to talk to one of us about who am I now? How do I move forward? I'm really stuck. I'm angry. I'm not the mom I thought I would be. I don't know what to do about work. I hate my partner now. Any of the usual normal experiences we now know as part of matrescence. I don't work directly with mamas anymore. That is what our beautiful Mama Rising coaches and facilitators around the world do. And when you jump on that website, you can find women who specialize in different areas. So birth trauma or miscarriage or relationships or return to work or any of those particular areas, if you would like to work directly with one of our amazing women.
Oh, amazing. I will pop all the links in the show notes, so you can just head on over to the show notes and click on the links and go and find more about that. I have loved chatting with you, Amy. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm very excited about this work that you do. And, you know, everyone can now go ahead and grab your book and devour that. And I'm sure it's going to make such a difference for them.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It's been a joy.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To learn more, you can go to ReneeO'Neill.com. I'm so grateful for you being here and super glad you've taken the time out for yourself to tune into today's episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to hit subscribe so you can catch the next one when it's released. Also, if you share this podcast to your Instagram stories and tag me at Renee.O'Neill, I will be sure to send you a little gift straight to your DMs as a thank you.